Today marks 2 years since the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. That sound is just some of the more than 2,000 people storming the Capitol that day.
And today, family members of police officers who died said their loved ones' names in a ceremony on the steps of the Capitol, including the two young children of a fallen officer.
Officer Billy Evans.
The January 6th attack led to hundreds of arrests and to a congressional investigation into the role of the former president, Donald Trump. The committee investigating the attack released their final report last month. And we want to review the key findings now that there's been time to sift through the report. To help us is Barbara McQuaid, University of Michigan law professor and a former U.S. attorney. Welcome back.
Thanks, Deepa. Great to be with you.
So, Barbara, before we get into the report and the criminal referrals, 2 years on, where are we in terms of getting accountability after this attack?
Well, in some ways, I feel like we're so near, and in other ways, I feel like we're yet so far. I really think the committee should be commended for the remarkable work they did up against a deadline, a very real deadline of the end of this congressional session. They interviewed something like 1,200 witnesses and gathered documents, and I think created a very thorough record of what happened. And so in that regard, I think the accountability has been tremendous. But real accountability, I think, requires consequences. And so that's where we've yet to see progress, I think. The Department of Justice has been investigating. It's been very open about its desire to hold accountable anyone who had anything to do with the attack on the Capitol that day. And I think that goes all the way to the very top. The committee has shared quite a bit of work that can be helpful to the Justice Department. And I think the Justice Department, too, has a very real deadline now staring at it, in that charges, if they're going to be filed, I really think need to be filed within the first quarter, even the first month. I'll go with quarter of 2023, if they're going to make their way to completion, a trial to completion before there's a change of administration, if there is, in January of 2025.
So imminently, really. Let's dig into some of the committee's work. Here's House Democrat Benny Thompson, the committee chair, speaking last month.
We have left no doubt, none, that Donald Trump led an effort to upend American democracy that directly resulted in the violence of January 6th.
Barbara, the committee laid out the president's actions before, during, and after January 6th. And when you look at the before, you know, Trump denying the election results, pushing for an alternate slate of electors, what are your takeaways from this report on his actions before January 6th?
Well, it seems to me very clear that Donald Trump knew he had lost the election and yet continued to lie to the American people in an effort to cling to power. For that, I think he is absolutely morally responsible for deceiving the American public and also for inciting the crowd to come to the Capitol on January 6th. Whether that also equates to crimes is a different question, and the question that DOJ is no doubt wrestling with right now.
The committee also presented evidence about Trump's inaction for 3 hours during the riot. And they recently released testimony of former top advisor Kellyanne Conway, who said she contacted then First Lady Melania Trump to try and get her to talk to her husband. How does Trump's inaction for those hours factor into the case that the House laid out against him?
Well, again, it's a complete failure of leadership. So from a political perspective and from a moral perspective, what he did was profoundly wrong. Criminally, it could be a little bit more difficult. I think there are two ways to look at his action or inaction during those 187 minutes. One is, I think that there is a viable theory of manslaughter there, which is defined as being reckless, engaging in reckless disregard for an unintentional death. The president, unlike most of us, has an affirmative duty to do things. He has the power to stop that. I think you could make the case. It strikes me as probably a bridge too far for DOJ. But one of the things that I thought the committee did that was intriguing was suggesting that it wasn't just his speech on the ellipse that incited the crowd, but his tweet while he's back at the White House during those 187 minutes at 2:24 p.m., when he says Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what he needed to do, America demands the truth, that really threw fuel on the fire. And it's that fact that the committee said is a basis for a crime of assisting an insurrection, because by that point, Donald Trump has seen on television how deadly things have turned at the Capitol. So I thought that was a really intriguing suggestion by the committee.
So what we're looking at here then, given all this information, is that the committee referred Trump to the Department of Justice for criminal prosecution on four very specific charges: conspiracy to defraud the U.S., inciting an insurrection, obstruction of an act of Congress, and conspiracy to make a false statement. Which of these charges would be easiest to prove at this point, do you think, Barbara?
I think they could prove today the first two of those. Conspiracy to defraud the United States and obstructing an official proceeding. The conspiracy to defraud the United States is based on the fact that the committee has shown evidence that Donald Trump knew he had lost the election and nonetheless lied about it in an effort to interfere with the fair administration of our elections. That is conspiracy to defraud the United States, and I think they can prove it without further investigation. Similarly, I think obstruction of an official proceeding can be proved already with information in the public domain. Donald Trump's efforts, after he knew that he had lost the election, to persuade Mike Pence to thwart the count of the electoral votes in Congress on January 6th, is enough to satisfy the elements of obstruction of an official proceeding. He knew it was false. He persuaded Mike Pence to do it, and he did it out loud in the public at the Ellipse on Twitter. So those two crimes, I think, could be proved today.
We're speaking with former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid. She's a University of Michigan law professor. You're listening to Here and Now. So, Barbara, the Department of Justice really has to decide what to do next. What does this committee report mean for the DOJ? And you know, do you have a sense of where they will land on what to do next?
Yeah, I think the mere fact that the committee has referred criminal prosecution certainly does not mean that DOJ will file criminal charges. They make independent assessments. But I think the information that is contained in this report can be very helpful to them. And I also think the visibility that we, the public, have into all of these facts makes me believe that criminal charges are very likely. I think the Justice Department needs to do some things the committee did not do. That is, make sure they have admissible evidence that satisfies the rules of evidence. You can't use hearsay. You can't use video clips without a foundation. So they would need to shore up that. And that takes some time to be able to do that. They also have to anticipate what cross-examination of each of these witnesses would look like. They weren't cross-examined before the committee. Would their stories hold up based on vigorous cross-examination? Would their credibility be strong? And then finally, they have to anticipate any defenses that Donald Trump or others would mount and whether those could be surmounted by the evidence that the Justice Department can bring. The other thing that they have to think about is, you know, whether there's a substantial federal interest in bringing these charges. I submit that there is, and whether any collateral consequences would outweigh that interest. And there could be unrest in the streets, but I think that you have to consider the greater good of accountability in light of what this could mean for the future of the country.
Yeah. The committee also referred four House Republicans to the House Ethics Committee for possible sanction for defying subpoenas. And that group includes Republican Congressman Kevin McCarthy. Do you think there'll be any punishment for defying those subpoenas?
Probably not within Congress. Congress is not so great at policing its own. With Republicans in charge of the House, I doubt that they would hold them accountable. But I do think the Justice Department could do that. They could hold them in charge them criminally with criminal contempt. Although, you know, we've seen kind of a mixed record on their willingness to do that. I also think there is some possibility of criminal exposure for some of those members of Congress. And so it may be that if they don't cooperate, they will find themselves becoming defendants instead of witnesses.
Okay. Did we get any more information from the committee on the response to January 6th from law enforcement and intelligence agencies?
Well, I think that that is an area where they could have done a better job. I think the committee, you know, they put in their appendix their findings about law enforcement and intelligence. And I think this was a strategic decision to avoid overshadowing the role of Donald Trump in all of this, which they, you know, clearly believe was paramount in causing this attack. But they certainly uncovered, I think, some very troubling failures in the intelligence community to recognize the threat, to share that information with law enforcement on the ground, and for there to be sufficient law enforcement officers there on January 6th. So they've got some recommendations for fixing that, like declaring the vote count on each subsequent January 6th dates when there's a vote count for the presidency to be a national security event. That they take a hard look at the way intelligence information is shared, that they address domestic extremism. So those strike me as a bit of an afterthought in the report, and they're really important. And so I think when you cast aside some of the politics and really look at how to protect our country from future insurrections or domestic terrorism, you have to take those recommendations very seriously as well.
University of Michigan law professor and former U.S. attorney Barbara McQuaid. Barbara, thank you so much.
Thank you, Deepa.